to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
All right, guys. How are you doing this week? This is Memphis Mark, coming to you from Mullet Manor. And this week's NXT review will start off with Heat Wave, their special event. You say I didn't say pay-per-view, because I haven't been able to stop saying that, but I didn't do it then, and we'll just jump right into this review. And it really starts off with Paul Heyman doing a synopsis or a recap of everything that has happened and why these matches are happening, and just doing the build-up of everything. So that's where we start off, and they're going to have three championship matches on this card. So it goes straight off with Giovanni Vinci and Carmelo Hayes. So with Trick, of course, for the North American Championship. So you got this championship. You've got Braun and JD, and then you got Mandy Rose and Zoe Stark. So here we go, and it really starts off good. They go back and forth, of course, and I would say their timing was pretty good, and at the start, of course, whenever Melo comes out and he's doing the shirt, he's got to burn the guy's shirt, so he does that at the start. But anyway, they get into the match, and they're going at it pretty good. Both guys are going move for move until Trick gets involved. Why would he be out there if he wasn't going to get involved? But anyway, Trick ends up grabbing his shoe, I believe it was, the first time, and Vinci doesn't like it, and it gets the timing thrown off. And then at one time during the match, and there's going to be screw-ups in a match. I mean, it's just natural. These guys are still learning. Even though they have wrestled in other places or other parts of the world, when you get to these bright lights here, this ain't no normal bright light. This is the big time, and they're training you for the big time. So you have to break old habits, old bad habits, and so sometimes it's harder to train some of these guys and get something what you want out of them, because they're so used to doing things a certain way, and they just, it's hard for them to change. So anyway, this match was back and forth, of course, until Trick gets involved, which leads to Vinny doing a flying press on him outside, and he looked good, and he looked good most of the match. They both did. You know what you're going to get out of Melo. You know you got a guy that's, it's about 90% ready to go. He still needs a little more, but he's almost there. And Vinci, I have to say, is kind of surprised me as close, but man, that flying press was great on the outside of the ring, and then he does a vicious clothesline. Looked freaking great, and everything's good. Trick gets up there, gets involved. Vinci power bombs him. He rolls out of the ring. Which Trick, man, Trick. I see everybody getting better. Everybody's getting better. I see progression. And just about everybody there, but Trick, I don't know yet. Okay, but so Trick gets powerbombed and then rolls out of the ring, and he grabs Melo and goes to powerbomb him the same way, and he reverses it. And when you reverse that, you get the pin. So Melo goes to the pay window. So that's the way they start off, and then. Then, of course, they go to their first promo, their first major promo there, and it's Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction arriving in, I believe it was like a Range Rover or something, you know, some Jaguar or whatever, SUV, but they're getting out doing the goofy, here we are, we're Toxic Attraction, but they get out and they do their little walk, and who do they run into but Braun Breaker and Little Steiner. They pretty much say, you know, hey, I wonder who's going to, you know, have their belts at the end of the night. I believe it'll be me, but I'm not sure about you. And Braun's like, yeah, whatever. So they go on from that. And they go into Julius of the Creed Brothers had sent in a tape this weekend saying that, hey, I know who is trying to break us up, who is trying to cause us harm. And he said he's going to, you know, talk about it a little later. And, you know, they go into that. It's about commercial time. And, you know, but right after, before they go into their promo, they throw in a quick little promo with Von Wagner and his mouthpiece. And, man, Von is about there. His mic skills, not too bad. Not too bad, you know, and he's another person I could see about 87% ready, you know, just needs a little bit more, but he's a big old boy, and Vince, oh, wait a minute, no Vince, AAA loves big guys, so we'll just cut out Vince, like that, and we'll just paste in Triple H. They do come back and they go into a little segment, a little promo with the Creed brothers and I can't think of the other gentleman's name right off the top of my head, but and Roderick Strong. And, you know, Roderick's going, they're going back and forth. He says, Julius, that is saying that, look, I know who's trying to break us up. I'm going to confront him and everything. So he goes and looks at the ramp. It looks like he's looking for another wrestler, and he's like going, all right, I'm wanting this person that is trying to cause us harm. And as he's looking at the ramp, he turns and says, it's you, Roderick Strong. You're the culprit. You're the bad guy. And Roderick's like, no. But I mean, he doesn't do a good response, and he's been around for a while, but he just seemed very, they wrote him out five lines and he memorized them last night. You know, that kind of a deal. So, you know, Julius is saying, you know, I'm sure you're going to just say one thing to our face and then stab us in the back, you know. And then Roderick's, you know, going, look, be very careful with the words coming out of your mouth, man. The very next thing you say, which I guess was the key for the gallows. That's all I got on that one. Gallus to jump in the ring, you know, and I always thought a gallus was something you had surgically removed, but I'm wrong. But it's Wolfgang and Mark and Joe Coffey, you know, they jump them. And I gotta say, gotta be honest, it's my opinion, it's my review here. I didn't like it. Didn't like it. Didn't like the Coffey brothers, Wolfgang. I just didn't like it. The way they jumped him, it didn't look good. Like they shoved him from behind, and poor Brutus, man, his facial expressions, you know, I'm sure they're sending him to an acting class and they're working on that, but Julius is one on one side, being able to talk some, and they're both intelligent people, I'm not meaning that, but Brutus just reminds me of I don't know, he's like a loose cannon with his facial expressions, man. You know, they want to be comical, but he's trying to, so when he tries to be serious, it's comical. When he tries to be comical, it looks like he's constipated. But anyway, they jump in there, and they're, of course, hollering and screaming, and they're, you know, get us, you know, jump out of the ring, and the whole ordeal, and they're standing on the ramp. Security comes up, and I'm sorry, I the more and more, I mean, maybe I will change my mind. Maybe I will change my mind. But right now, I am not a fan of Gallus, and I'm going to make sure that it's not something that you have surgically removed also. So I got to do a little research on that. But they go into a Roxanne Perez promo where she's complaining about Cora Jade, of course. And why is my friend doing this to me? And I can't believe I've never been in this situation. Yeah, well, anyway, but I don't want to say this much about Roxanne. Her outfit looked like somebody had taken a referee shirt, ate it, threw it back up, and laced it together and put on her. Now, anything that young lady wears is going to look good. She's a beautiful young lady, but the outfit, I just did not, standing next to a ref, it just, guys, let me tell you this, my little tidbit of history, if you still had black and white TVs out there, that would throw you off with that, you know, blending in everything, so, you ain't gonna worry about that, you get so well, all right. So that leads into the match, and of course, Cora and Roxanne have a good match. You know, I did not give a grade on the first match was the North American Championship with Melo and Giovanni. So I would say that match was I'm gonna go C. I'm gonna give it a C. And then this match with Perez and Jade. Man, they do good. Perez does like a bridge up, you know. There's Cora gets the better of her for most of the match, you know. But their only real big screw up was the slip when they were going for Pop Rocks, and they covered that up okay, you know. And of course, Cora's got to go for Old Faithful, a stick. She goes and gets the stick. Brings it back in the ring, is going to use it. It gets taken away from her. Roxanne's got it, and Roxanne's like, I'm going to hit you. And the referee goes, no, come on, man, put it down, put it down. And she's like, no. And then we'll put it down, put it, no. And then, of course, she puts it down, which leads to 1, 2, 3, the other way. She gets butt whooped. I learned that as a young kid. Got in a situation I shouldn't have been in, and a gentleman had a stick or something, and I grabbed something just like it, and the guy, like I said, convinced me to go, hey man, let's just put it down and fight like men. And I put it down, and his friend went over and picked it up, and now there were two guys with sticks and me none. Not a good equation. But anyway, we go Roxanne loses that, but we go into a promo with Big Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs and Fallon. I believe it's Fallon Henry, I think. Maybe. I believe it's Fallon. And, you know, those are some big old boys, man. There's some big old cornbread-fed boys, man. I mean, you know, they just need the little guidance they're getting now, and they're going to be fine. They've got a future. One of them's a second-generation wrestler, of course. We talked about that. So they're going to be fine. But then that surgically, then Gallus comes back, and they break in, and it's like, oh, you've been a champ for 5 minutes, and I was a champ for like 300 and whatever days, you know. I just don't like them. I don't think they have the, I just don't think that it works with American TV. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's my excuse. I don't know. I just do not. And maybe once I see them in some matches, my mind will change, you know. I don't know. I just right now, nope. Okay. It goes straight into a recap of Tony D and Escobar Santos. It's a good little promo, you know. They just go back over everything, you know, and then pretty much it leads to, hey, this is the final match. This is it. So, you know, if Tony D wins, you know, Escobar has to leave and the family stays. So Santos has got to leave and the family stays. And that reminds me, here's my history, of the old, it's kind of like what they're doing is a loser leave town match. And back in the day, a guy would come in and work the territory, you know, if he was going over and everything was going good, as they were making money, they'd take somebody that they only wanted in there probably a month or so, and they bring, you know, he would extend his stay because they were making money. But when he had to go, he can't just disappear, you know, so they have to have something like an injury, or whatever it was. But most of the time it was something like a loser leave town match. And that person would have to leave the territory for a year. And, you know, it was always like, and if they really did have, like, Dusty Rhodes, I think, lost one to Flair or somebody, but he came back as the Midnight Rider. And, Joe, it's, you know, under a mask, of course. And so, you know, anyway, this is all leading up to Tony D and Santos's match. And, I didn't understand. Santos is taped most of the time outside walking towards the ring. And then, of course, it goes into them inside and walking down the ramp. Where Tony D, he just walks straight on out with that goofy little Italian, hey. So, and it's him and Styx. So they come out, and the match starts, and it looks like immediately that Santos is going, you know, first thing, Santos kicks the man upside the head, man. He kicked him right upside the head, and then they said, ring the bell. But Santos goes out and goes after Tony's leg, and he's doing real good, you know, and then Stax comes out of nowhere, and he flies over and nails the family, and, you know, which leads to the first introduction of the trash can to this match, which was the trash can lid upside Santos's head. And, you know, and then Tony turns his attack towards, like, the shoulder and the arm. And so, you know, they both are going back and forth, you know. What was it? I wrote something down. What was that? And I can't even read my own notes. Anyway, I'll just have to remember what I saw. But Stax, it's back and forth, back and forth. And then Stax goes for the crowbar. Well, the crowbar ain't there, man. And so the mystery that the La Famille has the crowbar, and they go to swing at him. They do all that back and forth. The crowbar ends up in the ring. Tony gets ready to use it, gets kicked upside the head again. And so it's down. And there was brass knuckles that were introduced into the match too, trying to help Tony, but, you know, nothing worked out. So they both do some moves back and forth, you know. And they both get knocked out, and they're laying pretty much the same direction in the ring. And when they start finally kind of coming up, like they're getting their bearings about them, they start even like slapping at each other's face, like, I will never give up my family, and they're going back and forth. And then they both look over at the crowbar, and they both look over at their brass knuckles. Tony goes after the crowbar. Santos goes after the brass knuckles. Brass knuckles hurt very, very much when you hit them upside somebody's head. But a crowbar, you don't have to be that close. So crowbar wins, and Tony D is the victor. Which means Santos has got to go. Yeah, whenever it's a crowbar versus a brass knuckles, yeah, you got to be up close enough to use the knuckles, and the crowbar, you can be however the length of the crowbar away. So, all right, so that's how that match ends. And then they go into a promo with the ladies' tag champs, Caden and Kat, and they're talking to Indy Hartwell. You know, remember her? Crazy Dexter? That did something, jumped over the barrier or something last week. I saw that, and the security did a great job selling, you know, that it was for real. But I've never seen somebody stay focused on somebody jumping in out of the crowd that long, so when it had to be something. So anyway, so Indy is talking to them, and some lady just comes up and says, hey, Miss Hartwell, you have a message, and hands her a piece of paper, and we're just guessing. Everybody guessing? Anybody see it? Anybody know it? Nope. Okay. So we're guessing that she got a message from her ex or her boyfriend or however you want to put it. But then somebody I've never seen comes over and just takes it out of her hand and then tears it up. And it's apparently a Blair Davenport. Don't know anything about her yet, but I will. And then... Okay, right. And this is not as bad as a 24/7 title, but it's like too much better. And that's Tiffany Stratton and Wendy Chu. They do a little promo, and Mindy's in her normal voice, and it's that's all I'm going to do on that. Okay, then they go into Zoe Stark versus Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction. So they come out, and Zoe, of course, I said it last week when I saw, I'm not real familiar. I went back and checked some of her work, but that young lady was in shape before she got injured. When she came back from the injury, she has been jacked. I mean, she is doing some unworldly cardio to get that kind of a body. But anyway, she comes back. I mean, you know, it's Mandy Rose and Zoe, and the match starts off, and it's actually, you know, a pretty good match. The crowd's about halfway. You know, the crowd's about, when you hear it, I mean, Mandy's got her fans. I mean, she's a beautiful lady, and she's going to have her fans. But Zoe had hers, too. So, and then Mandy goes really right after the knee. And that's going to be the theme of this match, folks. Because Mandy is gotten a lot better. Now, well, you know, since she's been in NXT, she has definitely made strides. I mean, she's gotten better. Just not so sure about, you know, some, like when she does the half crab. She did a half crab tonight, and it just didn't look right. She didn't make it look like she had it cinched in. She didn't look like her feet were in. Just didn't look right. But, you know, everybody's got their own little things. I mean, it is what it is, you know. But the match is pretty much, I wouldn't say one-sided, but it stays a lot towards Mandy. And she eventually ends up getting her foot caught in the rope, and which Mandy, you know, goes after immediately and ends up pulling her brace off of her knee and really trying to do some damage. And then before it's all over, what happens? Mandy puts on the brace and uses it against Zoe to win the match. Now, who'd have thought that? But, I mean, I really thought that that might have been a chance they let her drop the title for a couple weeks. But, you know, I was wrong. So, good match. And wait a minute, I didn't grade. Let me see. What did I do on this? Wait a minute. I gave the first match a B. I gave the Cora Jade and Roxanne match a B+. And then what was the other? That Tony D and Santos. And I'd have to say that's a solid B, too. I'd have to say a solid B. Now, oh yeah, earlier the Giovanni and the North American Championship, I gave it a C. So we got two B's and a C right now. But this was a good match. Using the brace to end it for, I thought was a good little angle. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not bad. And as I said, they had very few screw ups, but they covered them up really good. And then, like I said, man, if it's okay to have these screw-ups, but it's how quickly you catch it and cover it. So somebody that doesn't know or doesn't watch as close as some people, like a goofballs like myself, and that is looking for a mistake or looking to where something could happen. So anyway, it was kind of a good angle with the brace on her. So, but then they go into a Quincy Elliott promo, and I don't really know how they're going to approach this, because that's a slippery slope, man. Slippery slope, because they're bringing him on as possibly a gay character, I guess you would say, or whatever his, you know, orientation, but they're going after that, and they're using that as a premise of the character. And that can be real, really. I mean, back in the old days, you had Gorgeous George and his valet, and that was great. And then, you know, that's been tried to be copied a few times. You had Adrian Street back in the day. He was, a lot of times, people were wondering, you know, in his early years. So, I mean, you know, it's a slippery slope to go down, but they are going down. And they let him cut a promo, and he cut a promo. Okay, and then you had to go into Grayson Waller complaining and everything about Apollo Crews. And then, of course, the lady's like, hey, you know, you denied his challenge, and, you know, he says a couple smart aleck words and then tells the lady she's got cheap perfume on. So that's the extent of that gentleman's promo, which leads into JD McDonagh and Braun Breaker. And you know, they come out. First of all, when they come out, Braun has a sledgehammer, and he like busted through a wooden box. Okay. Wooden box. Okay. All right. But they start the match off, JD goes right after the shoulder that he hurt, you know, so he's keeping his end up. And then, you know, Braun kind of slaps JD at one time, and JD kind of looks at him with that faraway laugh, and, you know, and it's, you know, that's so we are underway. And, you know, everybody knows Braun Strong. And everybody knows, you know, he's a second generation wrestler, so he's got a little bit more training than your average Joe. So he knows he's probably a little better on some moves. So you know he's strong. But man, this man was doing flips and flops, and he does like several moves. A backflip, I mean, he just, for his size and his weight, that ain't easy to do. And you jump out there and get in your front yard and try to flip out and flip backwards like that, and if you're not, you know, it ain't an easy thing to do. So the big man looks good and strong in this one. But JD goes right after the shoulder, you know, like I said, and he's really working it good. And at one time, when Braun's making a, you know, JD gets the upper on the match for a while, and then Braun gets the upper, and at one point down, later, a little bit, about midway in the match. About midway. All right, so about midway during the match, he throws JD into the turnbuckle, and anybody that's been watching Ric Flair for any period of time has seen Ric Flair go into that turnbuckle, flip over it, and then do the strut down the apron. And he didn't do it like a Flair style, but he did the Flair flip over, and then he had this, like, I'm stunned and kind of look, and Braun knocks him off the apron and all that. But, you know, he looked good. And man, at one point in time, he comes up and he looks at the camera and he smiles, and he's got a mouthful of blood from, you know, from one of the moves. So, you know, it was pretty good. You know, it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. Good match. And it showcased Braun really good, but I don't think it did JD justice, to tell you the truth. And I don't know a ton about him, but I have seen him for a while, and he's a pretty good wrestler, you know. And I just don't think this looked very good for him. I think he did okay, you know, but I think he could have done better. And when you get a chance on, you're the main event on something like this, you got to go barn burner. You got to leave it all in the ring. And I just wasn't so sure about that, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. They had Braun fell down a couple times, but he made it look good, you know. And so Braun covered his stuff up real good, and, you know, so. But at the end of the match, man, it comes down to like three freaking spears from Braun. That's when he jumped up one time and smiled at the camera with the blood in his face, or in his mouth. You know, that evil clown kind of look. but he did. The House of Clowns, they were down there. But he jumped, or he would get speared for the third time, and then it's not on, it's done. So that's pretty much the way that one ends. So they did a lot of filler with a lot of these promos. The overall, okay, well, let me finish this match before I go any further. Yeah, the third spear, JD wins. I mean, JD loses. Braun keeps the belt. And then, out of nowhere, a man appears. And it is Tyler Bate, the UK champ. So he comes out. And man, when he sit up there next to Braun at the end of the show, you know they got to bring set up for the next, you know, next big, I didn't say pay-per-view, special event. So they, you know, they're already, you know, as soon as this match is over, boom, they're already planning for the next event. So Tyler comes out and he's talking a little crap and he stands there and of course they both hold the belts up and look at each other, you know, angrily, if that's a word, angrily. Would that be a word? I don't know. Yeah, they do the stare down and do all that. But Tyler, quite a bit smaller. I mean, JD was smaller, too. We'll have to see, you know, how Tyler looks in the upcoming weeks with this particular match. But that is it. I'm throwing the papers on the floor. It is through with the notes. Let's just go into what the heck happened. Gallus. Don't like. Wolfgang, Mark, and Joe Coffey. Sure, they're great guys. Probably, you know, love to play frisbee golf with them or something. But not really sure if they're ready for this or if it's ready for them, possibly. The Creed brothers' faces. Just their faces. Just their faces. Their bodies and their actions, they're pretty good. You know, I've got about that down, but their faces. Julius, not so much as his brother, but dang, they need to work on that man. They need to work on that man. I think that's about my major points that I wanted to make. And then with Tyler coming in, that's going to lead up to some stuff. And I'm not sure where they're going to take Mello from here now and who's going to be going after his North American Championship. But, you know, we'll see how this goes. You know, they're going to bring the Creeds back and let them fight Briggs and Jensen. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things to go or to see in upcoming weeks. So we're also, next week or anytime after that, anybody that wants to, I had some requests for questions, and I will start doing some questions, you know, one or two, nothing big. If you have something about NXT or wrestling, you know, on my Twitter, it's Memphis Mark for you, and that's MPHS Mark. That's the abbreviation for Memphis, if you did not know, MPHS. So MPHS Mark for the number four, you. And we will try to answer a question or two each week on here. And please, you know, be kind. Don't send me a bunch of crap, but I think we're going to be done with this review of Heatwave. And as I said, overall, what we got it like, three B's and a C? Yeah, that's a strong B, I'd have to say. Still, maybe a B minus, you know, but I'd say we're going to leave it with a B. It was a B. Not a B, but the grade of B. And we're going to back on out of here before I say anything else to screw things up. So, but we've done the questions, we've done the review, so that only leads me to say, rescue if you can. Spay and neuter, please. And as always, this is Memphis Mark, and you know, I'm out.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.